Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorable.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you are listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, we welcome you to this hour of the Todd Starnes Show. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein from Todd Starnes Radio Affiliate, News Talk 1540 KXEL in Waterloo and Cedar Rapids, Iowa. 50,000 watts scorching the Midwest with accurate news and reasonable views, and it is my privilege to be sitting in for Todd today. He's taking care of some of those eye issues that he's been talking to you about so that he can see even more clearly, which is necessary given the change in Washington. So he's doing well, and it's my pleasure to be sitting in here for him today. As always, though, go to ToddStarnes.com, follow him on Twitter, at Todd Starnes, and when you're at that website, ToddStarnes.com, sign up for the newsletter so you can get unfiltered conservative commentary from Mr. Starnes and the team in your email box, and do it while America still has that amount of freedom. We are joined now on the Liberty University Newsmaker line by David Ray. Mr. Ray is with the Federation for American Immigration Reform. You know the group by the acronym FAIR. They are online at fairus.org. Dave Ray is the communications director for FAIR. Thanks so much for joining us here on the Todd Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in. How are you today?
Hey, Jeff, doing great. Good to be chatting with you, my friend.
Likewise, because we have a lot to talk about based upon this change in administration. And I have to tell the audience, if you've heard Mr. Ray or other individuals from FAIR on the radio in the past, you know that everything they said that was going to happen if Joe Biden became president is now happening. And Dave Ray, they have wasted no time in getting after that agenda.
Oh, absolutely. You know, they promised to do a complete U-turn on Donald Trump's immigration policies that really led this nation to the best border security this nation has seen in probably 100 years, and truly moved us to immigration in the national interest. And the Biden administration last night, through executive order, took a veritable wrecking ball to the whole Trump immigration plan, halting construction on the wall, putting forth a moratorium on removing any illegal or criminal aliens from the United States for at least 100 days, lifting the travel ban that prevented people from nations that don't share information with us from coming to the United States, because it's really impossible to vet and really know who these folks are, fortifying DACA. And then today, as kind of the cherry on the ice cream sundae, either today or tomorrow in the Senate, they are going to introduce, and this is with Joe Biden's blessing, he campaigned on it, an amnesty for the nation's 12.5 or more million illegal immigrants, putting them directly on a pathway to citizenship, ahead of people who are waiting at home for their legal visas to come forth. And Jeff, what's shocking about this amnesty, usually they like to say, you know, these folks have deep roots in this country and they've been doing jobs that nobody wants. And the amnesty that they're going to introduce tomorrow has a cutoff date of January 1st, 2021. In other words, people who've been here for 20 days will qualify, and then all the rest before them. And as just a special kicker, another component of this amnesty plan is to bring back people who President Trump deported. I mean, you know, these folks went through the immigration courts, they lost their cases, and then the American public paid to send them home. We're going to bring them back too. I mean, it is just unimaginable. But, you know, all this talk of amnesty throughout the election and now coming up into the inauguration has been heard. It's been heard loud and clear, Jeff. And, you know, first of mind, you have the 8,000 people coming up from Honduras in a caravan that crossed into Guatemala. But now Fox News is reporting, Lara Logan was just at the border, and through sources in Mexico and Central America and there on the border, she says there are hundreds of thousands of people who are on the move coming to the United States because of the Biden amnesty plan. So what Joe Biden has successfully done is, while he's saying he wants national unity, he has single-handedly created possibly the largest immigration crisis in the nation's history, and he's going to get to handle it after completely wrecking immigration enforcement mechanisms in this country. So he's created quite a situation for himself.
Well, you said a moment ago, Dave Ray, of FAIR, online at fairus.org, you said it's unimaginable. Well, it's really not, because of the fact that they told us they were going to do us, and you folks told us what the outcome would be. So no one is surprised, are they, that people are rushing up from Central America to, in essence, call America base, as this is some kind of a playground game. It's the kind of thing that everybody knew was going to happen. But what cost might there be to, I was going to say, the American citizen, but to America itself?
Well, you know, I mean, what is unimaginable to me is that somebody as seasoned as Joe Biden, who spent so much time in Washington, you could see this as clearly as you can see the nose on your face, that this was going, these promises were going to trigger a crisis. And it's happened. But the fact that he has chosen on day one to trigger an immigration crisis when the nation is in the thrust of a massive unemployment crisis with 10 million Americans still out of work, many of whose jobs are shuttered permanently, and a public health crisis with COVID that will claim its 500,000th victim at the end of February. I mean, think about this, Jeff. When you look at the videos coming out of Central America, how many of those folks are wearing masks? I mean, if Donald Trump's rallies were super spreader events, according to the media, this is a super spreader event in a magnitude of a hundredfold, because Mexico has widespread COVID-19, and these folks are going to be walking through about 1,000 miles of Mexico to get to the United States.
But it's okay, Dave. It's okay, because they're doing it for the right reason, right? Isn't that what we learned in 2020 from those on the left? It's okay to have big demonstrations as long as your heart's in the right place.
Yeah, only if they're on the right do they become super spreader events.
Right.
Well, I can tell you, many of these folks coming up are going to be registering as Democrats as soon as they get their citizenship. I mean, the only calculus that really makes sense about this is the idea, you know, last time there was an amnesty in 1986, most of those illegal aliens actually lived in California. California used to be a state where Republicans could actually be competitive statewide. What's happened to California? It's turned into New Jersey of the West Coast. It's as deep blue as it can possibly be. That was started with the amnesty in 1986. I mean, 65% or more of these folks, if they do become citizens, will end up being Democrats. They're going to come here. Their level of education is low. Their job skills are low, and they're going to need the safety net programs that the Democrats seem to love to provide with your money.
Dave Ray is Communications Director of the Federation for American Immigration Reform, online fairus.org, on Twitter and Facebook at Fair Immigration. So obviously, new cabinet officials come in with a new administration. Your organization came out just before Inauguration Day and opposed the nomination of Alejandro Mayorkas to be in charge of the Department of Homeland Security. Tell me why.
Well, I mean, you know, he has a reputation of getting anything done through any method he wants when he wants it. And he was the brainchild behind DACA, which was what we think the courts will soon rule, an illegal alien amnesty that was granted unlawfully by President Obama. I mean, the president does not have the right to waive the immigration status of an entire class of people. You know, but it really kind of underscored his mindset is when Senator Josh Hawley asked him about his thoughts on immigration enforcement. Now, you know, DHS is the home organization of ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, and the Border Patrol. In other words, you are a law enforcement officer when you work at DHS. And he really didn't have any thoughts on border enforcement. In other words, he's coming in to speed up immigration as much as possible, to defang immigration enforcement as much as possible, to take a wrecking ball to the laws that Congress has passed, to stop deportations and stop removals. And that's why Senator Hawley put a temporary hold on his nomination, and why we think it is a bad idea to put a fox in charge of the hen house.
Well, it would be analogous, I suppose, to a community hiring a police chief who only wanted to talk about how they would support community festivals as opposed to how they're fighting crime. I mean,
right.
One of the lead points of this department is enforcement of laws and security of the nation, and he apparently has no thoughts on the topic?
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine being that police chief and somebody asking you, well, what are your thoughts on stopping crime here in the nation's capital? And your answer would be, crime? What crime? There's crime here? You know, he has no enforcement chops. He has no desire for enforcement. He is an amnesty vehicle for illegal aliens. What he is going to do is to go back to the old Obama paradigm and reduce down to nearly nil the number of people that they remove, just the most egregious felons and criminals, perhaps after the 100 days is over. But with that said, if people know that you're not enforcing your immigration laws against your garden variety illegal aliens who are simply coming here stealing false IDs and working in the workplace, then that further incentivizes the illegal immigration, doesn't it?
Well, some of us look at it that way, but there's a different purpose. All right, remind folks, if they are interested in getting good information on this topic and learning how they can have their voices be heard, tell us how we can get involved, please.
Yeah, well, FAIR is a 501c3 nonprofit. We're the nation's oldest and largest immigration watchdog group. We're located right in the nation's capital on Capitol Hill, up to our knees in the swamp and swamp water every day. Check us out on the web at fairus.org, at FAIR Immigration on Twitter, or Federation for American Immigration Reform on Facebook. Join FAIR and its 3 million members and supporters in fighting the good fight and reining in these crazy Biden executive orders and amnesty marching orders.
Well, my heart goes out to you at having to work near the Capitol, but you know, maybe someday it'll be more of a pleasant journey. Dave Ray, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us here on the Todd Starnes Show, and keep up the fine work, sir.
Jeff.
Dave Ray is the communications official with FAIR, the Federation for American Immigration Reform, fairus.org. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Thanks for being with us. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show, coast to coast, and streaming online at toddstarnes.com. Phone number so that you can join the conversation is 844-747-8868. Same number as always, 844-747-8868. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. Thank you for being along. So we talk about Twitter censorship and how they block accounts, etc., and it appears that Twitter has absolutely no problem blocking an account with a conservative message immediately. There's no waiting, etc. Here's what the Associated Press is reporting today. It says Twitter has locked the account belonging to the Chinese U.S. Embassy in Washington. The Twitter account belonging to the Chinese U.S. Embassy in Washington, after one of their tweets stated that the Uyghur women had been emancipated and were no longer, as it was phrased, baby-making machines. Okay, Twitter says that the tweet violated its policy on dehumanization. Did not know there was such a policy. But here's the interesting thing. This is January 21st. That tweet was January 7th. So when the Chinese U.S. Embassy wants to put out a tweet, they're not going to get censored for 2 weeks. And oh, what a coincidence, it's after a change in the administration. There are too many things going on, my friends, in this world these days to just be coincidences. And I'm going to suggest that that's not a coincidence in any way. There's been a lot of attention paid to how the Oval Office looks now with a new president. And that happens. It's one of the kind of cool things, regardless of who comes and who goes and what the circumstances are, that whenever a president leaves office, in essence, while the inaugural ceremonies are going on, there is a crew that is unparalleled in terms of swapping out carpets and painting and hanging pictures and all of this so that the new president and his family can come to the White House and be ready to work, ready to live, don't have to worry about it. They're not schlepping their boxes from the back of a car or anything like that. So the desk that President Biden is using is the Resolute desk. This has been used now consistently for half century or more. That's fine. Swapped out the drapes and carpets also. And it was noted that the drapes that are now in the Oval Office were the ones that Bill Clinton used when he was in office. And the rug that is being used is predominantly a nice bright blue, looks very nice. But it's been pointed out that the carpet, the rug in the Oval Office, was also the one used by Bill Clinton during his administration. Now, I'm just going to let that sit here, as the kids say. I'm just going to put that over here and let you wonder about the rug in the Oval Office that Bill Clinton used. And, we often say if these walls could talk. He also has, of course, family pictures behind him. And I noticed there was a bust there, a sculpted bust, and a number of them in the office. The one right behind him apparently is Cesar Chavez. I'm just going to say it is a very different world today than it was yesterday in the early morning. What sign, and again, we have talked on this program. I've talked about it. Todd has talked about it. Who does Joe Biden owe? Other than everybody, all right? So what does he do? He makes a big show of, well, look, here's the Martin Luther King bust. You remember that dust up 4 years ago? Here's Cesar Chavez. Every time you look at me at the desk, you're going to see Cesar Chavez. See, you people, I'm taking care of you. They're not going to be happy with that. You know that, but I'm not sure he does. I'm Jeff Stein, sitting in for Todd. Thanks for being with us. Please stay here. This is the Todd Starnes Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show, coast to coast and streaming online at toddstarnes.com. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. Phone number for you to use is 844-747-8868. That's the number that we use every day when Todd is here, when I'm here, whenever. 844-747-8868. Of course, ToddStarnes.com, still refreshed with new information, whether TS is in the chair or not, and you can follow him on the Twitter machine while you still can, at Todd Starnes. I am on Twitter, at Iowa Politics, and I'm coming to you from my home base, News Talk 1540 KXEL in Waterloo and Cedar Rapids, Iowa, where I do a program in the mornings, and you can hear that if you're so inclined at KXEL.com. All right, I don't like to just read things to you on the radio, but I have an opportunity here to share something, and I'd be interested in your thoughts, so feel free to dial in at 844-747-8868. You're familiar, I trust, with Politico. Now, this was a magazine that now is a website and sort of a magazine as things have progressed. Politico is certainly not a friend to those on the right. All right, let's just put that out there. So this is why this story is so interesting to me. Politico, not necessarily a friend of those on the right, and in their playbook email that came out today, headline, Democrats caught flat-footed by total control of Washington. And here's what it says. The Democratic, that's their word, the Democratic takeover of the White House and Congress is complete, but the truth is that the party was caught flat-footed by it. Almost no one expected John Ossoff and Raphael Warnock to both win in Georgia, let alone plan for how they'd run Washington if it happened. All right, I'm taking my eyes off of that story now. They were honking about this and this Georgia runoff election and what they would do, and by gosh, you give us this power and we will remake America. And they didn't have a plan? All right, I'll go back to the Politico article. The lack of preparation is now causing confusion among congressional Democrats about how they should exercise their newfound power in the critical early days of the administration. Conventional wisdom is that presidents have a small window of opportunity to make their mark with a big legislative achievement or, best case, two achievements. Again, this is from Politico. Timing is critical, as is sequencing, but beyond a desire to address the pandemic, unquestionably Biden's first priority, Democrats seem to be all over the place on what their legislative game plan looks like. Politico writes, our Democratic, again, it's their word, Democratic, should, if I'm editing, I'd say Democrat, but in any case, sources say Biden's top two targets will be a COVID package and a massive infrastructure bill paired with clean energy policies, a nod to climate advocates. The Democrats are also talking about criminal justice and policing reform, as well as good governance proposals to clean up elections. Yeah, I'm departing from the article. I'm going to trust the Democrats to come up with ideas of how to clean up elections. All right, back to the article. Contrary to 2 years ago when the party took the House and leaders articulated a plan for a series of major votes on guns and equality in the first few weeks of the year, no clear agenda has been presented to them by President Joe Biden, according to interviews with a half dozen senior Democrats on Wednesday night. So this is Politico reporting as of last night. You have the leaders of the legislature saying, the Congress saying, we don't know what he wants to do. Let's go back to the article. And this is, again, important for us because we fear the worst, with good reason. But this sounds like the gang that can't shoot straight. Back to the article. Democrats aren't even on the same page about how to get Biden's $1.9 trillion COVID package through Congress. Before Biden was sworn in, aides had been hashing out plans to use the fast-track reconciliation process to try to jam it through on a party-line vote. But now Democrats are pressing pause because Biden is, as one person called it, bipartisan curious. All right, I'm departing from the article now. Seriously, bipartisan curious. Could there not be a more woke term? I mean, they're even making fun of their own woke terms. Back to the article. They suggest Biden wants to win over Republicans first, and that is to the chagrin of many senior Democrats eager to move quickly. You see, the idea is Biden saying, let's try to get everybody together. And the people in Congress, the Democrats, oh no, 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 we don't want to work with them. We want to steamroll them. I'm not saying, the point being that Biden's not in control of his own agenda or the White House. Back to the article, Biden aides reached out to moderate GOP Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska this week, and Democratic Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia says he hopes to talk to them over the weekend. Manchin hasn't even talked to the White House people. Meanwhile, a third idea is percolating in the House, passing a narrower proposal of $1,400 stimulus checks and vaccine distribution assistance to provide quick relief and notch a win. or if all else fails, demonstrate to Biden that the GOP isn't going to play nice. That idea, though, is running into resistance in the Senate. Oh, my goodness. Taking my eyes off the article to speak to you directly now. Oh, my goodness. Nancy and Chuck can't even agree anymore. You got to love it when they turn on each other. Back to the article for the last few words here. The lack of clarity extends to immigration. Many Democrats privately concede that the massive immigration bill Biden introduced on day one was mostly symbolic, a gesture to advocates that's unlikely to come to fruition. But on the Senate floor Wednesday, Chuck Schumer, who helped write and pass a sweeping immigration bill in 2013, said doing so again was a very high priority and one of the most important things a Democratic Congress, their phrase, can do. On top of all this, the Senate will soon have to conduct an impeachment trial of Donald Trump, and Schumer and Mitch McConnell are still at loggerheads over a Senate power-sharing agreement that is sucking up time and could delay confirmations. Politico article concludes, for now, the frustration is contained to a handful of top lawmakers and aides trying to come up with a path forward, but we shall see how long they can keep a lid on it. That from Politico, basically blowing the whistle on the Democrats, saying it's just very much like the old story of the dog chasing a car. We've always heard about dogs chase cars. And the old story goes, the dog catches one day and then looks and says, well, now what do I do? Because the attention was all focused on chasing the car. Well, now he's got the car. What do you do with it? Same thing here. We've got to have control of all arms of government. And it was really easy for Nancy and Chuck to work together with a common enemy. Common enemy was the bad orange man, Donald Trump. So now, when they're not working against Trump and they're expected to produce results in cooperation with a Democrat in the White House, nobody knows what to do. Now, by the way, do not blame a failed transition process for this. We're hearing that from various levels where, because of the Trump side fighting to try to restore dignity and accuracy to the election process, that the normal transition did not take place and now Americans will die. They've said that. They've said that Americans will die because there wasn't a more robust concession and acquiescence, and why not just turn the government over to the other side early, right? So you've got these people who have said the transition is the problem. This is not a transition issue. This is Joe Biden, who has been walking around saying he's president since November 4th, and now he actually has the job. This is Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, who he knows well, who he's worked with, supposedly, right? Certainly. I mean, who's the guy when he was vice president who was the fixer? Who was Obama's fixer? Going to Congress, taking care of business. Good old Joe. They certainly should have been talking. They had one meeting. At least we saw photos of it. So they don't have a plan? And don't give me this, well, they weren't sure how Georgia would turn out. Well, we've known how Georgia was going to turn out for quite a while. So how is it that they don't have a plan? All we heard from the left was, well, look at that. Donald Trump's president and Republicans have control in the House and Senate and they can't do anything. Not looking much different now, is it? No plan to go forward? I understand here's the plan and we don't actually meet what it is that we say we want to do. I get that. It's the ups and downs of the specifics of language in legislation. It's the difference of we thought we had enough votes and we don't. I understand here's the plan and we weren't able to carry it all out. I don't even have a plan. Couldn't wait to get power. And this is the problem when you vote against something like they were all anti-Trump. You're not for anything. It may be a good election strategy to be anti this person or this party. Sure, mobilize people. You're against this. When you're against something, it's pretty hollow because you're not really for anything. If you were with us in the previous hour of the program, which you can catch online at toddstarnes.com in the podcast section if you're so inclined, you heard me talking about people who don't have real convictions. They don't have the courage of their convictions. They don't know where they stand. If all they're doing is fighting for re-election and getting power, they don't have any honest feelings about what to do with the power. When the priority is re-election as opposed to serving the people, your focus changes. So all they could think of for more than 4 years was to get rid of this illegitimate president. And now they got rid of him, and they don't know what to do. There is no plan. And here's the last point, friends. If high-ranking Democrats in Congress are already carping about that, already leaking to favorite media sources, again, Politico, not exactly a right-wing group, when leaders in Congress say this the night of the inauguration, that shows you how bad it is. They couldn't even wait to get the story leaked that there's no plan. Joe, you have wanted to be president your whole life. Certainly you have been aggressively pushing for it. Since your first campaign fell apart in my state of Iowa in 1987, I've talked to you on the campaign trail in Iowa. You've wanted to be president. What a great goal. What a great accomplishment. So now you're president. Going to have to ask in a few weeks how that feels. 844-747-8868 is the phone number. That's how you can join this conversation, and I would certainly encourage you to do so on any topic you like. 844-747-8868. I'm Jeff Stein from News Talk 1540 KXEL in Iowa, Iowa's home to this program. And this program is the Todd Starnes Show.
About to back up and bring it. It's Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes Show, coast to coast, and streaming online at toddstarnes.com. And don't forget, that's where you can go to listen to the program. It's live from 11 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon here in Middle America, noon to 3 Eastern. But what's even better, I mean, live is great, but sometimes you have to do something else. You know, work for a living, that might be something that some of you do. Well, then you can go to toddstarnes.com, and each hour of the show is posted as a, not a podcast, it's a Toddcast. And we thought about calling today's a Jeffcast, but that just doesn't work. It's not cute. It's not clever at all. So the Toddcast is online at toddstarnes.com. You can share the links. You can tell a friend, oh, hey, I heard Governor Mike Huckabee talk with this idiot fill-in host during the first hour of the Todd Starnes Show. You ought to listen to it. And they can. So that's one of the good things. But go ahead and bookmark toddstarnes.com. All sorts of good information. Avery is going to post the story that I just awkwardly read from Politico in the last segment. And again, if you missed that, the story basically is Politico is reporting that a number of well-positioned Democrats in Congress are saying, where's Joe Biden's plan? He's not talking to us. We don't know what we're going to do. He's going to post that, and you can check that out at toddstarnes.com. If you go there, you can click, and there's all sorts of show notes and information. Every day when Todd is here, whether I'm here, what's most important is you get the information, and it's at toddstarnes.com. Phone number is 844-747-8868, and that is how you can reach this national radio program, and we hope you take advantage of that. I did mention something briefly in the last hour, if you were with us, and Governor Huckabee mentioned it as well, and so it bears a little bit further examination in our remaining moments in this hour of the program. Joe Biden is going to have a whale of a time paying all of the debts that people think he owes them. It's great to have what in essence is a coalition government, because that's really what we're talking about here, isn't it, friends? The Democrats have Joe Biden in the White House because they created a coalition government. They made deals before Super Tuesday. Why is it that Amy Klobuchar and Pete Buttigieg and you name the list, everybody dropped out just in time for Joe to stop Bernie? Because they couldn't handle Bernie. They didn't think they'd win with Bernie. They only won through shenanigans with Joe, but he at least was a little friendlier, if you will, of a persona. So you've got all of these different groups who said, you know, we threw our support to you, so now where's ours? You were seeing this since the election. All of these groups saying we're going to have a meeting with Biden. Here's our list of demands, not requests, not suggestions, not proposals. Here's our list of demands. Because now it's our turn. And you saw this on the streets of Portland last night again. How can you blame what happened in Portland last night on Donald Trump? You can't. But you can look back and blame yourself for not listening to what Trump and others said was going on and what then-Senator Harris said. When Kamala Harris was talking to Stephen Colbert on the TV box back in, what was it, June? Her campaign was over. She didn't even make it to the first contest where I'm sitting in Iowa. She was a hideous campaigner. She was awful. She was horrible. She could not connect to people. Her campaign was mismanaged financially. She dropped out before the first competition. So her dream died long ago. So then she's actually being honest and saying this movement is continuing. You're not going to stop them. You're not going to stop them before the election. You're not going to stop them after the election. Oh, yeah. And then she got selected to run with Biden. And now she's vice president. But the words she said back then in June, well, she was right. They're not stopping. Because even though Joe Biden is in the White House the night of his inauguration, they burned a Democrat office. Because it's not far enough. So again, God bless you, Joe, for all of our sake. Good luck to you. Because you got a job, my friend. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd. Thanks for being here. This is the Todd Starnes Show.